Peter and I are super excited today to be joined by Dr. Sam Fesich. I'm particularly excited to be with Sam today because we were together in our PhD program at Penn State years ago. A little bit about Sam from her Twitter bio. So Sam, professor, author, and helps future teachers rock their college careers, crush student teaching, and find a job with Edge of Magic. Sam is the co-creator of the Edge of Magic Planner and is a professor at Grove City College in, Sam, remind me again where?
Yeah, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Awesome. So Sam, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
I am so excited to be here, Monica. Good to see you, Peter. Monica, it's great to reconnect from our Penn State days, and I am looking forward to this conversation.
So tell us about you. I know I just read off an awful lot from the bio, but if you want to expand upon that a bit, tell us what you're currently working on, anything you'd like to share.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I teach future teachers at Grove City College, where I get to work with them in areas related to educational technology and student teaching, special education, and it is a blast. I love working with those aspiring educators. They have that fire in their belly. They're excited to learn new things, try stuff out, and take those risks in education. It's so much fun. So I work with mostly freshmen and sophomores with ed tech and special ed, and then I get to oversee a couple of our special ed student teachers. It's great to see them grow, freshman to senior, flourishing, and hopefully getting a job. And I also host the Edgy Magic podcast, which is a podcast just for future teachers. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, keeping busy, and yeah, loving it.
Sounds like you're keeping busy. We'll make sure to share a copy of the link to your podcast in the show notes if you'd like.
Perfect.
So I'm curious, now everything has changed so much. So for some context, Peter and I have been doing this show since March. It was Peter's idea, so he has to get all the credit for this.
Hey, Peter!
But in the beginning, in the early days of the pandemic, we would ask questions like, so what's it been like since you transitioned online, since everyone massively went online? So what's going on right now for Grove City? Are you guys online? Are you hybrid, face-to-face?
Sure. So most of our classes are residential. My classes that I'm teaching are online. So I teach our classes using Microsoft Teams, use some Nearpod, some Pear Deck, you know, got to engage those students and just have some fun with teaching them what good online teaching looks like, because they're future teachers. They want to soak that in because, you know, they might be using that in the spring or whenever they're student teaching. You never know what they're going to be come up against when it comes to their time to be in the classroom. But just trying to promote a positive online presence whenever they come into the online space, and engaging them through instruction has been really important for me as a teacher and for them as well to learn what it's like to teach online, because I'm sure we've all had those experiences with online learning and teaching. So I want them to have that positive, excited feeling to come to class just like they would in a traditional space, and then setting that stage to engage and have them engage in the content, reflect, do small group, large group, and meet synchronously and asynchronously within our courses. So yeah, so I guess in a nutshell, most of the campus is residential. I'm teaching online and I love it. It's great.
So you've said a bunch of words that I'm familiar with, but I think some people might not be. So if you don't mind, we'll take a step back. And I know Microsoft Teams, and we are a Microsoft Teams campus, so we have people starting to use it. Although, to be honest, it's in pockets. I'm using it a lot this semester. I actually wasn't a Teams fan before, but I'm starting to enjoy it. And I'm going to have to ask you for tips. But you've mentioned, I'm going to probably mispronounce this, but I know Pear Deck, but Nearpod is the other one you mentioned. And yeah. Was there a third?
Microsoft Teams, Pear Deck, Nearpod, Wakelet, use some of that. Yeah. So I can talk through all of those if you'd like.
Yes, please, because I'm just curious, how are you using them all together? And I get the impression that you're kind of doing two birds, one stone, in the sense that you're using it to help you teach, but also using it to model for future teachers how to use it with their students.
Yes, so that's pretty much the whole point of like tech of instruction. Like, we're going to learn how to use this tool from the student perspective, and I'll model it for you. And then we're going to create something as teachers and use it with real students. So when we use Microsoft Teams, we use it for our LMS, and we use it for our synchronous meetings, which is phenomenal. I love within Microsoft Teams, it has accessibility built right in. So there's that immersive reader. So if my students need support with their tech support, they can text support. They can have the screen read to them. They can have it for my students who may have some visual issues. They can have contrast. They can blow up that text nice and big. And it's all embedded right within that Teams feature. We use it for our synchronous meetings, so I can record our meetings. We can take collaborative notes together. They even have, while I'm teaching, live closed caption, which is really nice for my students if they need that support. Because sometimes, you know, while we're talking on a meeting, our cameras might freeze or we might accidentally mute ourselves. So having that textual support is really helpful. And I love that it's just baked right into Teams. I can have my OneNote there. All of our assignments are embedded within there with rubrics and feedback elements. What else is in there? I can throw in anything from Office 365. So form, I love using forms for check-ins, just voluntary check-ins. Like, hey, how are you doing today? How can I help support you? What's going on outside of class? Just little check-ins that are, they're voluntary, but they do have like their name attached to it since it is tied to our Office 365. And then they also have insights, which is really interesting. So I can go in and I can see how students are using the platform when they're in there. So if they're in there at 2 a.m. and their assignments due at 8 a.m., maybe check in and talk about some time management, get some sleep, take care of you stuff. So I love Teams in the sense that everything's in one spot. We use our Microsoft Team chat feature for small group during instruction. We use it for large instruction for our conversation. And then we're also checking in with our students individually on a weekly basis, just doing that self-care check-in, not just academics, like, yeah, you got assignments too, but how was rehearsal? How was practice? How's, you know, I know you were working on a new cookie recipe. How's that going? You know, that type of stuff, just checking in them as a human. So I love Microsoft Teams for that. Everything's all in one spot. But with Nearpod and Pear Deck, these are awesome tools. So it's not just like Charlie Brown teacher at the front of the room, wah, 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 wah. I can really bring in my PowerPoint so I don't have to recreate the wheel there, but I can pop in formative assessment. So I can put in, as they're entering the room, instead of having like that awkward staring at each other, waiting for like 8 o'clock to start, we can have like a drawing response for them to draw out, just doodle, or maybe draw a mind map of what you remember from homework, or, you know, give me three words that you remember from last class, whatever it might be, and then we can start our class. But with Nearpod, I can throw in those formative assessments, multiple choice, fill in the blank, a really cool like digital bulletin board with little sticky notes all over it. Let's see. Oh, Flipgrid is also fun. They can do their video responses. Yeah, so I give them a little bit of content, like 3 or 4 slides, and then they do something with it. And then we do 3 or 4, and then we do something else. And it's just a great way for them to see the tool used purposefully, meaningfully, authentically. And it keeps me on track too as a teacher, so I'm not just wah, wah, wah the whole time. They're doing something with the content, which I think is super crucial and important so they don't zone out. And we know that best practice is a little bit of info, and let me do something so I know that I'm understanding that properly. and then Pear Deck does something very similar, except they have some really nice social emotional pieces embedded. So within Office 365, you pop open your PowerPoint, you add in the Pear Deck add-in, sign in with your Office 365 account. And then it prompts you, like, would you like to add a before class message? Like, what do you wonder about today's class or during class? What's one thing that stuck with you? And at the end of class, how are you feeling about this topic? Thumbs up, thumbs down. And they can put their little dots there. And I think that's just really important for them to be able to connect with me in the content, connect with each other, because I can share my screen. They can see how everybody's, you know, answering those questions. You can have that dialogue and that conversation. So, yeah.
This makes me excited to use more of this because, and I hate to admit this, because, you know, I'm probably, we were techie geeks at our program. That was the thing.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
But I will say that when I have done more things on the Microsoft side in recent years, despite my husband being quite the evangelist for all things Microsoft and for many, many years, I have not used as much of it because I've used alternative tools. But when I started using Pear Deck recently, one of the things that was kind of throwing me a bit, so I wonder if you could explain this a bit, because I think this will come up for our other faculty. I'm envisioning all of these things that you're doing, and I'm trying to think on your side of things, how many monitors are you looking at? Like, how many things are you looking at once?
Yeah.
Okay. Because when we talk about like Zoom and having, you know, to monitor the chat, and for us, I should have prefaced this by saying we were like 99% on ground and no online courses before the pandemic. So we've gone to a big switch to have everything online. So when you launch a class, it sounds like you're launching it in teams. Could you kind of walk us through a little bit about like what does your startup look like when it comes to opening a class?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So as students are coming into the space, I usually have like a welcome screen up, something like, did you turn in your assignment? Double check, make sure. Make sure you grab our file for today. If there's any PDFs or any handouts I want them to check out, it's under, and I remind them it's under week 5 files, go find it. And then I usually have like something funny for them to do. Like drop a GIF in the large group chat about how you're feeling about this weekend. Or if you could have one breakfast food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Mine would be pumpkin spice Cheerios or whatever. So having them like, so it's not awkward for as students are coming in. And I also have music playing. So in Teams, I can share my audio. So I tell them Festus Radio is playing. If they want to drop any jams, you know, if you can play it to kids, I'll play it here. So they put in our chat and I'll play that song. Usually like ABBA in Journey has been really popular. I don't know. Cool. I'll play it.
I wouldn't have guessed that. That's cool.
I wouldn't have guessed it either. You just ask like, oh, can we listen to Mama Mia? I'm like, sure, let's do that. So as they're coming in, we have that welcome screen. That's whenever my screen is shared. And then I also have either a Pear Deck or a Nearpod code up. I could also, if I wanted to, and if I thought ahead more, I could, in Pear Deck and in Nearpod, I could just share it right to a team channel so they can just go right into there. They don't need a code, but I'll put the code in there and they'll be joining there. And as they're coming in, they're, you know, okay, turn in my assignment. I got my files. I bebop into my music. I'm adding my Nearpod. I'm ready to go. And then as I have like the number of students in the class that matches the number of students in Nearpod, I'll stop sharing my screen at that point. And usually I'll just have, what's that called? Like split tabs, like split windows, like one window. Yeah, something like that. One window with my Teams meeting up and running with chat, just in case there's any questions or in case I mute myself. And the other window or tab with the Nearpod deck running and in the teacher view. So they can't see my screen, my teacher view. I do hide their names when I do share my screen. If I want to share like a response, because within Nearpod, you can share other students' responses and we can talk about examples, non-examples. What do you like about the statement? What do you think needs added to it? I always hide their names. And then, so they're able to respond, focus on their response. And usually I have the timed option because, you know, sometimes if you give them 3 minutes, they will take 3 minutes. Let's cut that down to a minute and a half. It also keeps me with pacing too, right? So yeah. So using Nearpod, we set it up. They're working through their project. And sometimes I'll just, you know, give me a thumbs up if you're ready to move on in our large group chat. They'll drop that there. Sometimes I'll just do a quick prompt in your Potter Pear Deck. What are you wondering about? What do you already know about? Those types of things. So really infusing that engagement piece is critical, especially in the online space.
I just love how engaging it sounds because I know that it's super boring, I think, for anyone to sit in front of a PowerPoint in a face-to-face class, period, but also in online when it's death by PowerPoint, but death by PowerPoint via Zoom, it makes things even worse. So it sounds like the audio from you is coming in through Teams or is it coming through your phone?
Yeah, it's coming in through Teams. So as they're coming in, that Spotify playlist is playing. If there's any, sorry, let me redo that one. So the audio is coming in through Teams as they're coming in. The Spotify playlist is moving. If there's something like a video I want to share on YouTube, I will share it across all their devices so they can hear it on their own machine. It's not coming garbled through my machine. So I will turn my audio off when at the start of class. And if there's any video, like I said, it'll go to their own individual machines. That's something you just select in Nearpod, one device or all the devices. I go with
that. That's cool. So it sounds like I definitely need to start pushing some Nearpod and Pear Deck.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Did your college pick it up as a whole or are people getting it ad hoc?
No, we use it in the ed department and it's lovely. And our students are able to then, so they learn about these tools and tech of instruction, something they take their freshman year. And then throughout their college career, they're able to use these tools for other classes, for field work, for student teaching. It's really cool to see them just grow with these tools and other professors be like, oh, I didn't know Pear Deck could do that. Or I didn't know you could do that in Nearpod. So it's so cool to see them glow and just be like, yeah, I did a rocket presentation. And it's so cool to see that. Yeah, it's really neat.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm going to kick it over to Peter because I know I could keep asking you ed techie questions all day.
You can totally geek out, Monica. This would be great.
I'm kind of curious, you mentioned that you're essentially using Teams as sort of like a shell of your class. That's like it's your LMS replacement. That's like the thing where you come in and you launch everything from Teams. So does your Teams instance kind of look really busy with like a lot of channels, a lot of tabs added to it? Are you using stuff like third-party bots or apps inside of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my team, the channels are set up by week, but you can set them up by like unit or chapter. It just makes sense for weeks for a 14-week course. You can only have 8 shown at a time. So as we like, I think we're in week 5 now. So as we are getting closer to 8, I'll start hiding like channels 1 and 2 and adding 9 and 10. And then across like our general tab is where they'll find their posts, like the syllabus that's just kind of important, our assignments, our grades. And then I think the only other thing I have on that general tab is like that check-in form that I tell them, you know, it's always there if you ever want to give me any feedback, share what's going on in your life, it's always there for you. But within each of the channels for like the course, for the content of the course, it has posts for announcements where I do a look back and a look ahead every Friday. Here's what we did this past week in case you forget what we did Monday. And here's what's coming up for the week ahead. Here's the assignments you need to look at. And then I might drop a funny GIF because I know with GIF and images and videos, it will actually get some attention. And I'll make sure I tag the team so they get a notification. Also within that general or within that channel for each week, there's the post with our announcements. We have any files that relate to the class that week. And then we have collaborative notes. If they want to take collaborative notes, I encourage them to do so. Because, you know, we rock that, Monica, at Penn State. The smartest person in the room is the room. You're going to zone out. You're going to have these ideas and strategies and just share them. So I encourage them, take those collaborative notes. A couple of things I do add if it's related to the content, maybe add in a Wakelet for my students to interact with, or I create my own for them to do, or they create some for their peers to look at. Stream is also another one. So when I record my sessions, there's a stream link just to our channel. So they don't have to go looking, where did I miss class? Where do I go? It's in the general tab under stream. You're going to find it. And then they can just find the date and listen in on the class. So yeah, I think that's about it. The only thing Teams doesn't do yet, I hope it comes soon, is the cumulative grade at the end of the grade book. So they have grades for all their individual assignments, but no like final grade is this. So Excel comes to the rescue there and working through some formulas.
And that sounds like a really great and rich setup to deliver instruction and engagement and just a kind of sense of, you know, belonging and community and interaction. And of course, that on the other side requires access to high speed and screens and devices to work the way you kind of design it to. So how much of a challenge has it been for your students and at your institution in general for students to have that kind of access? Because, you know, we've been finding both across our institution and other schools as well, that it's been really a kind of hit or miss. Some students have access, some don't. Some have a quiet place to engage in these online classes, some don't. Some share devices in their household. So it's sometimes a complicated story when it comes to that.
Yeah, at Grove City, we are blessed to have every faculty, staff, and student gets their own laptop computer provided by the college. It's a Windows machine, so they have everything that they need right on there. So they have the hardware. Oh my God, it's such a, like, seriously, if I can do it on my machine, which is 3 years old, freshman, you can do it on yours because yours is so much newer. But we get refreshed every, I think, 4 or 5 years as faculty and staff. So that's fantastic. Our CEO, Vince Assese, really planned that incredibly well with everyone getting devices. That's been like a thing since I think early 2000s for Grove City, which is phenomenal. So when they're on campus, they have access to the internet that they need at the speeds that they need. But when they're at home, we did have some students who lived in remote places, couldn't access, or they had to drive down the road to a McDonald's or something, sit in the parking lot. With things like that, I think it's just a matter of being gracious, recording your sessions and letting them know, hey, you know, although we missed you in class, here's a recording of the session, check it out, let me know what questions you have, and just being a human with them and just saying, I know this is not ideal for everybody and for anybody or everybody. And just saying, here's something to help support you. Here's the presentation. Here's the PDF. Here's, you know, everything that you need to be successful from this one session that you missed or sessions that you missed. Just reach out. Let me know what I can do to help. And just keeping that contact open, maybe giving them your cell number to text just in case if they don't have access to Wi-Fi in their home or wherever they may be. I think it's just being a human and being gracious and showing that grace to them.
But at least you have the hardware in place to support that and bridge at least some of the gap, even if it's not the whole thing with the internet access.
Right.
The one question that we asked a lot of the people that we talk to who are educators are, of course, since you're teaching students directly, you know, what has changed because of COVID in terms of how you're delivering and everything? That's kind of the obvious thing. But you're teaching teachers. So for you, it's like the three-dimensional chess, four moves ahead. So what are you changing in terms of what you're teaching those future teachers who will go into the workforce, into eventually a much changed landscape of education? We don't even know what that will look like really right now in a year or 3 years or whatever. And well, they will have to deal with whatever the changes are that'll be the fallout from COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I think it comes with a lot of flexibility in the design of the course. So what don't they need that's in the course that I can take out, and what are things that they need that they're going to be successful in student teaching and in field work? So one of the things that I added was getting certified as a Microsoft Innovative Educator, just getting those 1,000 points so they can, you know, learn something new, share about it on their digital portfolio, and have a certificate of completion there. Working through the Google Certified Educator Level 1 training, but not getting certified just yet because a lot of them are freshmen and that expires in 3 years. So at least they'll have the training, the understanding, the reflection on what it means to be a Google educator, and then hopefully take that training there during student teaching during their senior year so they can have that as a resume booster. So definitely adding those two pieces into the class, pulling in more experts from the field. I love having guest speakers come into our traditional class, you know, share with them, but now I can bring in people from like around the world. I knew I could do that before, but I feel like it just like was better now with online space. So I brought in a couple of educators to our student teaching practicum class, sharing about classroom management. I brought in a couple of teachers from the I Promise School to share about social emotional learning and trauma informed teaching. And we all can speak from our own experiences, but bringing in teachers from all walks of life, all around the country to speak into their class is something that's so special. And I think really is an affordance of the online space and an affordance of this time. You can bring in those experts, have them speak into our courses, and just expand upon that and enrich that classroom environment, enrich that content. So bringing in those speakers, changing up the syllabus, what do they need? What's going to help them propel them in the future? And maybe take out some of those old stale lessons that, you know, we've used in the past, but now we can really amp it up and punch it up a little bit here with stuff that they're going to need more in the upcoming years. And we can learn about the other stuff later. So yeah, it's like podcasting. We started talking about that. What else? Yeah. It's just always like changing and seeing what other teachers are doing in the classroom and applying that to our own class.
And that's a great segue into my next question, because in that year or two, when hopefully everything's back to normal and there's that swing right back into like the physical classrooms and everybody's together, what do you want to keep from this kind of crisis that you think were good developments that even when we're back in person fully, you'd still like to continue?
Yeah, so definitely using the technology to engage our students as we go through. So not going back to death by PowerPoint, having those engagement pieces, bringing in those experts, and putting more human contact into the class. So reaching back out to those students. I know I did that before, but not as often. So reaching out to them on a weekly basis. Next week we have our fall break. So I plan to send them some snail mail in their mailboxes on campus. So keeping those lines of communication open, showing them, hey, I'm your professor, but I also care about you. I want you to be successful. How can we work together for you to be successful, not only in this class, but in other courses? How can we help you flourish during your college career?
I think that's great. I'm going to kick it back to Monica now for more questions.
Cool.
Well, actually, I'm just thinking, I love that you're sending snail mail to them, and I'm totally borrowing that idea for my students.
Please do. Think,
well, and you know what? I think one of the things I always enjoyed about my conversations with you when we were in school together and the posts that I see you do online is that the enthusiasm and the excitement you have for teaching with tech, and it's something that I really feel myself too. And I think that it's something that's often lost at the college level. I taught high school for years. I think you teach at the middle school level? Am I remembering?
I taught elementary. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were doing those things, it was just kind of second nature. And it was like, if not only expected, but also like celebrated to do that. And I think that, you know, as you get higher up the food chain in terms of entire ed, there tends to be this more stage on the stage mentality of less yeah. use of tools, and it becomes just less fun. But that's one of the reasons I was so excited to talk with you. So I'm curious, if we were tentative on the final comment, if someone was feeling hesitant about trying all the different things that we were talking about today, what would you say to someone that's like, I'm just afraid it's not going to work? Because there's this fear of, I don't want to look like a bumbling idiot in front of my students. And I get it. It's real. Right. And that's one of the most common things I've heard. So if you were to kind of try to help coach that person through that feeling, what would you say?
Sure. So one thing I would do would be to choose one thing and take baby steps and learn about the tool, look up YouTube videos, go to like the training centers on their websites and see what they have there. Just take small steps towards a goal. You don't have to master it in one day or 1 hour, friends. You have weeks to master this tool, but try one thing. And if it goes great, you're going to learn from that. But if it doesn't go well, you're going to learn from that too. And I think that's a great opportunity to be vulnerable with your students. You know, I'm trying something new today. I don't know if it's going to work, but let's just see what'll happen. So yeah, here we go. So I did that the other day with my students. So instead of like, I had a whole lesson plan ready for me to just like talk about special ed law. And I was going to deliver that lesson and we're going to be done with it. But I was like, well, that sounds really boring. And like, I was teaching that at 10 and it's like 7:45 in the morning and I teach a different class today. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that at the 10 o'clock class. I think I'll have them make a wakelet and see what happens. So I told them all this, like, guys, I have a PowerPoint ready to go for y'all, but I don't really want to present that today. And I think it's going to be super boring. So let's make a wakelet. You guys are going to be assigned a special ed law piece of legislation or court case. Here's some resources that you're going to find info about that. And you're going to create a wakelet about it. You're going to tell me what it is. What's a summary? Give me a YouTube video. That's from a credible source. And a link for more information. And they're like, okay. And you can collaborate on it too. So now they're not just making it, you know, I'm making one, Monica's making one, Peter's making one, but we're all making one together on Wakelet and collaborate. And we're sharing that with our peers. And then we present them at the end of the class. And it was so much better than me just like, la, 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 here's our special ed law. So yeah, so it keeps them engaged. It gets them excited. So be vulnerable. Tell them I'm trying something new. Honestly, before that instant, I've tried Wakelet maybe twice and I was like, okay, I got this. And they were asking me questions like, oh, I don't know. Let's look that up together. And you know, it was just a neat experience to do that with them. They learned a new tool, they learned about law, and they got a little bit of teaching to their peers. So take small steps towards a goal, be vulnerable with your students and reflect on what went well and what you can do better next time, because it's always a learning experience.
Well, thank you, Sam. I really appreciate you joining us today and sharing your knowledge. I'm excited to share this with our college.
Yay! Thanks, Monica. Thanks, Peter. It was great.
Thanks.